I want to start out telling a little story that somebody told me a while ago. I thought it was extremely good. How many of y'all know sometimes God does something that's a little different than the way you would do it? You know, have you ever found that to be true? Well, this story that was told with me, there was a missionary that was out on the way to a certain village to preach the gospel. And he was out there in the woods and the jungles and everything, and where it was densely woods and everything. And all of a sudden, the Lord just spoke to him. He said, stop right here and preach the salvation message. Well, you know, I may be a missionary, but Lord, I'm out in the middle of the jungle. Do you not know what you're doing, Lord? He said, I said, preach the salvation message. So for 30 minutes, man, he preaches the salvation message. And then he said, now the Lord says, okay, that's a good one. He said, now then give an invitation. He said, Lord, are you kidding me? He said, did I tell you to give an invitation? He said, well, yeah, okay. So he said, now then I invite anybody who wants to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, come forward. And said, over 100 people came out of the jungle and out of the trees and came and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You think our King knows what he's doing? We don't always know what he's doing, but when he tells us to do something, what are we supposed to do? Do what he said, even when it makes no sense whatsoever. And some of you may have noticed the big black spot out there in our field when you came down. Some of you might not have noticed it, but there's a big black spot out there. And we had a neighbor up there mowing at his front yard, and a spark or something from his riding lawnmower caught the grass on fire. And, of course, the grass out there in my field, which I haven't mowed, which is about that tall. Well, I mean, when it got out there, boy, it was coming this way. Well, Bruce just happened to get through with a car he was working on, and he walked back out. And when he looked out there, he said, oh, my goodness, look at this fire. So he come running back in here and started screaming, fire, fire, fire. Well, of course, Cheryl started, they started getting people to call the fire department, the police department, and everything else. Cheryl called me. I was at the airport working on airplanes. She called me and said, honey, there's a fire. You got to pray. I said, where is it? She said, just south of the church. I said, okay. So she said, the wind's blowing from the south to the north. I said, okay. So we started praying, Lord, turn the wind around and let it blow back to the south. And so, I mean, I come ripping through here like a race driver, you know, and I got out here. And of course, all the fire trucks got here. And just within a few minutes, they had all the fire contained. When we prayed, the wind turned around from the north to the south. Yeah, it really did. You know, we were praying. But I remember one time when there was a guy, it was dry, kind of like this, almost as dry. And I was at work at DFW Airport. And this is years ago. And my wife called and said, there's a fire. It's coming across this pasture out here right toward our place. I said, okay, I'm praying right now, Lord, let that go around my... Now, all the mother houses wasn't up there yet. I said, Lord, let that fire go around Larry's house and my house, because I didn't think Larry would be at home either. He was my neighbor. I said, Lord, let that fire go around Larry's house and my house and not burn anything. Let it stay out in my field. I said, Lord, send a couple of angels to keep the fire out there. Now, what did God say we could ask for as his children?
Anything.
What do we not understand about anything? You know, so I've learned these principles, and they're awesome. They're in the Word. They're going to be in the Word that we're going to study today. I drove exactly the speed limit. I did not break the speed limit nowhere. I stayed in total faith. I said, Lord, I know I asked you to send those angels. I know the fire is not going to get to my house. I know it's not going to burn Larry's house. I said, Lord, I know you're going to protect my house and my shop because I've asked you. And I'm walking in obedience to your word. You know, I'm an obedient son. So you told me to ask anything and you'll do it for me. So I drove in out here. And of course, there was two or three fire trucks here that day too. And it burned all across up there, right around, went around behind Larry's house, maybe 50 yards behind his house. It's amazing how the grass, you know, burned 50 yards, I guess, behind his house and shop, but never did come on up to his shop. And then it burned right out in my field, and it burned that pasture and field out there almost halfway to the fence up there before they got it contained. But it was all out there in the field. Not a bit of it came to the house. But my wife said, isn't that awesome? I said, well, yeah, it is really awesome. But I said, that's exactly what I expected. I mean, if you don't expect him to do what you ask him to do, forget it. He's not going to do it. You got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. It's amazing what belongs to us as children of God. But we don't know how to walk in it. We don't know how to claim it. We don't know it because we don't spend enough time with God. Well, we're going to start out today in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, And we're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to see some of these things. And this is the NLT. That's good. Now, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to you, I didn't use lofty words and brilliant ideas to tell you God's message." Have you ever been to a church where the pastor is overeducated and he's got a PhD and you don't understand anything he says? I've been to a few of those. Well, praise God, I'm kind of like Paul. I've just got a normal education, and I only know how to use, you know, simple words. I've had a lot of people tell me, "Thurman, you teach the Word of God, you put it down on the lower shelf for all the kiddies can get it." Well, good. That's the way I want it. I want it down there where all of us can get it. Now, if you happen to be one of those super educated ones, well, that's good for you. But he says, "For I decided to concentrate only on Jesus Christ and his death on the cross." Well, what else should we concentrate on? I mean, if you get the, like Dave said a while ago, if you get the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ down pat, you don't need nothing else. I mean, that's what Paul is teaching the people. This is the only thing that's important to us. And, of course, some people will try to tell you, you know, that the death of Jesus is not important. You know, but let me tell you, without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have nothing. Verse 3 and 4. It says here, verse 3, "I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling." You know, when I read scriptures like that, I think about the very first time when I was elected as a deacon at Lakeland Baptist Church in Lewisville, Texas. I mean, it was not a great big church in those days like it is now. It's a humongous church, but it probably had only about 200, 250 people on an average Sunday. Well, as a deacon, you had deacon's week. In other words, there was about 8 or 10 of us at the time, and so about every 8 or 10 weeks, whatever it was, you would have to get up there with the pastor and you'd make the announcements and then have an opening prayer. I could stand before a classroom of 20 or 30 graduate engineers and teach them formulas and things with no problem. But I knew what I was talking about, so I felt perfectly comfortable standing before those graduate engineers teaching them formulas and things about airplanes. I had no problem with that. But I'll never forget the day when Dr. Ben Smith, he had a PhD also, a very wonderful man, and he said, "Thurman, would you make the announcements?" And I got up there with my little sheet of paper. I was okay, and I laid it down on the pulpit, and I looked up at those 200 people out there, and all of a sudden, I'm glad I was behind the podium because my legs were fanning like this. I was shaking like a leaf. I was trembling. I thought, what is wrong with me? Well, first of all, my main problem was I was in church. I had to have an example that was going to be like Jesus, and I knew almost nothing about God's Word. You know, that made me feel really, at this point, like Paul said, "I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling." I've been there and done that. Praise God. "And my message and my preaching were very plain." Well, I hope mine has never changed. I hope it's still plain. That's the only way I've tried to do it. "I did not use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you." Don't you love it when we're teaching and the Holy Spirit shows up? Oh, I love it. I've seen it. When I say that, I think about this little lady that was sitting right over here with her brother here one day, and they came to a healing school, and they had heard about me somehow. And that I didn't realize when they come in that she had a severe pain in her left breast and her left shoulder, and she was in excruciating pain. And so she was sitting over there with her brother. Of course, I didn't know what her problem was. The Lord had not revealed it to me. But sometimes God don't have to tell you. He'll just do something, and he'll lead you in a direction, and he knows what he's doing. So all of a sudden, I started talking about breast cancer. And how breast cancer is caused by unforgiveness. And if you got breast cancer in the left breast, you got unforgiveness toward a female member of your family. And if you got breast cancer in your right breast, you got unforgiveness toward a female that's just an acquaintance. And I'm saying this, all of a sudden this girl says, "Oh my goodness, Lord, that's what's wrong with me. I have unforgiveness toward my sister-in-law." So she took out a piece of paper and said, "Lord, I promise to forgive my sister-in-law. I will forgive her, and I promise I will love her forever in Jesus' name." And when she wrote that down, you were here, weren't you, Kim? What did that girl do? She screamed. I mean, she was in church here. I'm teaching, and she screams. You know, and I stopped, and I said, "Is something wrong?" She said, "Pastor, I just, from what you said, I just forgave my sister, and all that pain that was in my shoulder, my left breast, went away. She said, I was completely healed. Now, don't you love it when the power of the Holy Spirit shows up like that? See? Because that's a confirmation that what you're teaching is out of God's Word and that it's true. Because the Spirit don't do things that's contrary to what's written. So this lady, which had an unforgiveness toward her sister-in-law, she had no idea. That's why that she had this pain in her left shoulder, in her left breast. And whenever she wrote down, and she showed me the piece of paper, and I read it. She said, I forgive my sister-in-law, and put her name down there. And I promise, Lord, I will love her from now on in Jesus' name. And instantly the king healed her. I just love it whenever the Holy Spirit shows up. And Paul's telling us here, now my messages and my preaching were very plain. I do not use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. I won't tell the story in detail. I've told it so many times, but I love it when the little 13-year-old boy standing here got his eyes healed. And a couple of months later, when the other 13-year-old was standing right here, and he was colorblind, and he was instantly healed. I love when God shows up like that in your service. Now, 2 months later, I got the most beautiful letter from this mother or this little boy and said, Pastor, what a privilege to see our son instantly healed when you prayed for him. And what a privilege it's been the last 2 months to teach our son colors, because he didn't know what colors were. For 13 years, all he could see was black and white. But the King of the universe, Jesus Christ, that makes me aware that when it says this is a mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's here today, isn't he? Because we all brought him. He's here with us. So he's free to do whatever he wants to do. And don't we love it when God shows up and does something wonderful? When the Holy Spirit shows up, I love serving Jesus. Wow. But the Spirit was powerful among you. I love it to see the Spirit's power do wonderful things. Now 5 and 6. I did this so that you might trust the power of God rather than human wisdom. The human stuff, you know, I don't want it. I want the God stuff. You know, I want to do what God says there. Yet when I am among mature Christians, I speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Secret Wisdom of God, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.